Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
The gentleman who's going to be sharing the word today has been around my life and ministry for a very, very long time. I don't know, probably 15 years or more. And he has grown and developed. Joey, you just had a birthday. How old are you?
30.
He just turned 30. You're halfway to 60. Congratulations. And he has turned into just an amazing, amazing man of God. He took the APES test, and of course, if you've ever called the church, you speak to Joey. And his phrase is, "It's my pleasure. I'm delighted to serve you and help you." And so he took the APES test. His highest score, of course, is shepherding. And his second highest score at 31 is teaching. And so that's why he teaches in the growth track. And if you have never been around Joey, you're really missing out. If you've never heard him preach, you really are missing out. But today is your opportunity. Would you please, sometime during the next 10 minutes, get on your phone and share the live stream on Facebook. But right now, would you stand to your feet, put your hands together for this man of God, our friend, Brother Joey Sims. Preaching in the house today, brother. Have fun.
Test 1, 2. Good morning, Destiny Church. Good morning. It's good to have you guys. And let's try to keep this iPad up and everything going good. All righty. So I'm so excited to be here. And it's just like Pastor Eric said, you know, I've been around the ministry. Actually, this month, I've considered Eric and Cheryl Hansen my pastor for 11 years. And it's just amazing how God has brought me here and how much I've grown, how much I have matured over the years. And you know what? That's just a testament of when you get planted in the house of the Lord, that's when you're going to flourish. You know, if you're wondering, you know, what, you know, we're going to talk about today about the calling upon our life, the gifting upon our life. And one of the main ways you're going to flourish in what God has called you to do and destined you to do is not when you work on your own, but when you get planted where God has you at, especially in the house of the Lord, and flow in those gifts, grow in those gifts, then and only then I believe God will open up the door to do greater calling on your guys' life. So I want, why don't we go ahead and let's just invite the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's already here, but let's continue to invite his presence in our place. So let's just continue just to reach out. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you, God, for what you are doing, God, in our midst, God. We thank you, God, for your presence that's already here right now that I believe that's just already preparing hearts for the gospel, preparing hearts for the word, God. And God, just continue just to touch our lives, continue to strengthen us, continue to equip us, continue to stretch us. May we grow and be everything that you called us to be, and may we do everything that you called us to do. As we get into the word today, God, just start a fire in us, even rekindle a fire in us, just to passionately go after everything that you have called us to do and destined us to do. I believe that this is the time and the season that we're going to do it, and you are equipping us to do such a thing. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Can I say amen? And one more thing, I am, just to give you a forewarning before we get into the word, I am an audience participation preacher. What that means, if you don't know what audience participation preacher means, that means that we are in a lively service, Jesus is alive and well, and so there should be excitement in this place. So if someone blesses you, it is okay to shout amen, it is okay to shout praise the Lord, it's okay to shout preach it, and so go ahead, bring it on, you know, whatever you want to do, it is okay. There's absolute freedom in the place to do that today. So we're going to go after God. Who's excited? Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, let's get into the word. We're going to go to the Old Testament today, to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. And like I said, we are going to be learning what God has called us and destined us to do and how to prepare ourselves on the journey that God has for us in life. Because as you're turning there, you know, it's good to remember that we are all on a journey. We're a journey on life towards what God has for us. And there's different points in this journey that we're trying to figure out what our purpose is, what our destiny is. Even as a little kid, we're trying to figure out, you know, what we are going to be when we grow up. How many of you remember that question? Little Johnny, little Susie, what are you going to be when you grow up? Some will be a firefighter. Some will be a police officer. Some will be, you know, get creative. I want to be Batman. I want to be Superman. And they just get real fun with it. But even at a little early age, we know that God has a purpose and a destiny for our life. But we need to learn that God has given us an opportunity right now to really realize what he has called us and destined us to do. This is something that affects all of us. Doesn't matter if you're young. Doesn't matter if you're retired. Doesn't matter if you're in the middle. It does not matter at all. God still has a purpose. He still has a plan. And he still wants to do something awesome in your life. But we need to cooperate with him on the journey to figure out what he has for us. So in Habakkuk chapter 2, are you there? All right. So here's a foundation that God has for us. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4 says this. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. On this journey of life, we got to come to this understanding that God really does have a plan for our lives, and he wants us to discover the vision that he has for our life. You know, we've heard verses before, and it's a very common verse, but it's a very powerful verse of Jeremiah 29:11. For the Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. You know, it's a truth like that that can just fuel the fire in you, that even when you're discouraged, you're tempted to give up. You're tempted to throw in the towel. Some of you even watching by television may be even tempted to commit suicide. But God wants to let you know that he has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He has a destiny for you. And there is hope no matter where you have been in life. In fact, this plan, go ahead, give God a shout of praise. That's fine. Hallelujah. In fact, you got to understand that this purpose that God has for you was upon your life before you were even born. Can you imagine that? This is what the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. So God is letting you know, listen, before you were even thought of by your mom and dad, I knew you. I had a purpose for you. You are not a surprise to me. Let me let you in on a little secret about my life. Did you know that I'm a surprise child? I am a surprise child. You know, my parents, they got married and they had, you know, children from a previous marriage. And lo and behold, I came into their life. And in fact, my mom's public testimony, she said it in church. Even when I preached my very first message at the age of 16, she said, I prayed for patience. And I got Joey. And after that moment, she became an advocate of do not pray for patience. Even when we were starting to attend the church, we got connected with Dennis Nichols. We mentioned that story. So anytime dad could not come up with a prayer request, he's like, okay, patience, let's move on next. So y'all realize I was a hyperactive ADD kid. But yet, let me tell you something, even though I was a quote-unquote surprise, let me tell you something. I was already planned in the minds of God. And you were already planned in the mind of God. You are not an accident just waiting to happen somewhere. You were already preordained in the mind of God. And he said, I'm going to make you and I'm going to set you apart for this purpose. You were created on purpose to serve a divine purpose for the glory of God. So we got to get that in our understanding. You are not a mistake. You were born to serve God on purpose for a divine purpose. A great example of this that I love to talk about is Gideon. How many of you remember the story of Gideon in the Bible? If you haven't read it, you can take some time. It's easy read, afternoon read, in Judges 6, 7, and 8. But in the time that Gideon was there, Israel was facing an enemy called the Midianites. And they were just raiding their land and just causing just a bunch of uproar. And we find this man named Gideon, who was hiding away from the enemy, taking every bit of food he have and trying to hide it away so they didn't get it. But suddenly he had an encounter with the Lord that changed his life and changed the direction of his life forever. For the Bible says in Judges chapter 6, beginning with verse 12, then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Now let's stop here real quick. First of all, when you see the phrase, the angel of the Lord, this is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. So we're not just dealing with just some angel up in heaven coming to visit them, although that would be cool. We're dealing with God himself, who came to a fearful, worried, concerned Gideon. And God took time to encounter Gideon to let him know, listen, you are a mighty hero. Now, when we read this, that he's fearful, we would think, what kind of hero is a fearful coward? What kind of hero comes out of someone who's very fearful and looks very down upon himself? But when God encounters us, he's wanting to point us to the potential that's on the inside of you right now. Whether you realize it or not, you were born with potential to serve God with greatness. He deposited gifts, he deposited callings, he deposits anointings. He gives you all these things so that you can live a godly life for him. But we need to see ourselves the way God sees us. It's just like with these goggles right here that I have. These little glasses. All of us see things from life from a different perspective. We see things from the perspective of our experiences, maybe our pains, maybe the things we went through, maybe the expectations of others. And we also look through the glasses of how we see ourselves. When God showed up on the scene to Gideon, God let Gideon know, you are a mighty hero. God's saying, this is how I see you. You are not a coward. You are not a wimp. You are a mighty warrior, and I have a great purpose for your life. But the problem is, Gideon did not see himself the way God saw him. Gideon did not see himself as a mighty hero. He responded to the word of the Lord. He responded that, you know what? I'm a mighty warrior? I don't think so. I don't think so. In fact, I think you picked the wrong person. You're choosing me to come against the enemy of the land? I don't think so. Because I'm going to let you know, God, why I'm the wrong choice. He's about ready to put on his glasses and see life from his perspective. All right, God, here it is. My tribe is the least tribe in Israel. And I'm going to let you know something, a little something, God. My family's the least in our tribe, and I'm the least in my family. You know what Gideon basically told God? I am the bottom of the barrel. You don't want to use me. I am the wrong person. You should talk to Joe Schmo down the street. You know, some of us, when God calls us and reaches out to us, we think that he picked the wrong person. We almost react like Tim the Toolman Taylor. Huh? Oh, no, you picked the wrong person. No. You got so many of us kids mixed up. You guys confused. You met that Joe down there that's a mighty warrior, not this Joe that's a mighty warrior. No, you met that Gideon over there, not this one, God. But yet God was not calling Gideon based off of who he was right now. That's how he saw himself. He was pointing him to who he was always destined to become. And see, that's the thing we got to realize. God is not calling you, reaching out to you to who you are right now. He's pointing out the gold that's been deposited on the inside of you and saying, this is who I always called you to be. I'm going to let you know how I see you. I see you as fearfully and wonderfully made. I see you as built on purpose for a purpose. I see you as a mighty warrior, a mighty conqueror, full of the Holy Spirit and fire. I see you as pure and holy. You know, we try to remind God of our weaknesses and our failures. God, don't you know how I messed up? Maybe there's a sin that we committed and we feel shameful, we feel guilt and weighed down, and we're telling God, God, you don't want to use me, I messed up. But God is saying, no, you don't understand how I see you. I sent my son to pay the price 2,000 years ago so that you could be free. And when you accepted him, my blood washed you clean of that sin. I no longer see you by your sin, I see you through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to let you know how I see you. You are a mighty man of valor. And so we got to realize if God's going to do something awesome in our lives, we got to see ourselves from his perspective. We got to see ourselves the way he sees us. So when you hear that God has a call on your life, that God has a plan for your life, that God has a purpose for your life, you don't have to be worried or fearful. You can know that if God called you to something, he's going to equip you to do it. He's going to prepare you to do it. He's going to equip you and help you to fulfill the call that he has on your life. God is not calling you based off of who you are right now, but based off of who you were always destined to become. So we got to get this in our understanding and our revelation. See, we got to realize God has a call in our life, and you can figure this out in many different ways. There are many different ways that you can figure out what God has called you to do. For example, the talents that you have, they've been put in there for a reason. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from God Almighty. So you got to understand that the talents that you have, there's a reason why you have those talents and you have those abilities on the inside of you. It's because God wants to use it to bring him glory in this earth. Maybe the passions that's on the inside of you, the passions that's resting on the inside of you. You got a passion for art, or you got a passion for your children, or you got a passion for the word, or you got a passion for many different things in your life. What are you passionate about? What are you willing to do that you can do for free and still enjoy it? What can you do that you will enjoy no matter what? What's the thing that keeps coming out of your mouth that everyone hears about and it's like, already, do it already? John Bevere was in one of those situations. He had a staff member, and all he could talk about was Africa. All he could talk about was Africa. He had Africa pictures on his screensaver. He had Africa all over. He just kept going on about Africa. Finally, John called him to the office and basically was like, listen, here is some money that we'll give you for a one-way ticket for you and your wife to go to Africa to go ahead and test that out. So the offer is available if you want to pray about it. They prayed about it and they took advantage of that. See, God will provide a way with the passions that you have. He'll provide a way for you to walk them out. What are you passionate about? Maybe even our experiences as well. You look down upon yourself like Gideon. Gideon was dealing with a time where he was dealing with the enemy. And when God encountered him, Gideon was like, well, how come all this is happening, Lord? How come our land is going through what it is? How come the enemy's going to do it? Lord, don't you remember the promises that you gave us? Don't you remember the plans that you have for us, what you've done for our forefathers? And that's when God called Gideon and said, listen, I am calling you for such a time as this. You, that is on your heart. That is what you're going to do. You're going to be raised up to defeat the Midianites. That very problem that this burdens you, weighs you down, that wish somebody's got to do something about it. Somebody's got to do something about it. Let me tell you something. That somebody is you. You know, we can pray to God all day long. God wants you to send someone to this. God wants you to send someone to deal with the havoc in this nation. God, send revival to this nation. God, do this. God, do that. And God is saying, oh, I'm going to answer that prayer. All right, you're going to be the answer to someone's prayer. You getting that? You are going to be the answer to someone's prayer. God is saying, the reason I haven't quote, unquote, sent someone else, because I'm sending you. I put that passion on the inside of you. I put that vision on the inside of you. You are looking at life from that perspective because that's the lenses of what I have called you and destined you to do. God has a plan and purpose and destiny for your life. And you got to realize that on this journey of life, he's going to show you which route to go. Now we have the call. We have a passion. We have a talent. We have experience. We're doing some things. But let me tell you something, before we just run off and do something, it's good to have a little preparation work. It's good to be ready. Because the Bible says in our text, in Habakkuk 2:3, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it. How are you going to respond to the waiting periods of your life? You know, I had a pastor's wife in the church I grew up, she said this all the time. It's not in my time, but in God's time, but in the meantime. What are you going to do in the meantime? What are you going to do from when you receive the promise to the fulfillment of your promise? What are you going to do from when you receive the prophetic word till you actually walk out the prophetic word that God has on your life? What are you going to do from when you've gotten that desire, you know that's the direction God has for your life, to when you're actually walking out the visions that he's been giving you, even in your sleeps and dreams? What are you going to do in the meantime? Are you going to be like some people that says, well, delay is just denial. It should have happened by now. You waited 1 year. You waited 2 years. You waited 3 years. You wait year after year, and then you're like, well, I must have missed God on that one. I must have had some pepperoni pizza, gave me indigestion, and that's what made me think that I'm called to this particular thing. Oh, that prophet down the street missed it. Oh, this happened. Ah, that can't be God. Are you going to react that way? Or are you going to see his waiting time as an opportunity for preparation? What are you going to do with the waiting series of your life? What are you going to do with the call of God on your life and understanding where God has you at in this season of your life? See, we got to understand there's a reason why we're in the places that we're in. And we must not neglect the preparation that it takes to fulfill the call and the destiny that God has for our life. Andrew Womack says it like this: preparation time is never wasted time. You got to realize, doesn't matter how long you prepared. You know, I came to this church, and I came under Pastor Eric Sherrill's ministry 11 years ago. And you know what? During that time, I began to grow. I began to mature. I began to learn. I took advantage of opportunities given to me. And because of all that time, some people could be like, well, that was wasted time. But it wasn't wasted time. Because during those seasons, during those opportunities, was preparation for me standing before you today. It's preparation for me to do what God has called you to do. There's some things, yes, you can learn in a book. There's some things, yes, you can learn in a classroom. Yes, there's some things that you can learn through a teaching series. But then there are some things that when you're in the season of your life, you decide to get plugged into where God has you at, that you will grow and learn and mature. You got to understand, where does God have you at right now? And are you going to take advantage of the season that God has you at right now? The greatest thing I can think of is the story of David and Goliath. Now, we all know David and Goliath. We all know that David took the stones that he had, flung it, and hit Goliath in the head, and basically, in the end, chopped off his head and killed and won the victory. But what we don't know is that what prepared David to do what he wanted to do and what God had for him to do in that moment is he got prepared as a shepherd in his father's field, doing something that nobody wanted to do. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 34, when David was standing before Saul saying, I want to face Goliath that nobody wanted to face. I want to go ahead and deal with the problem. Here is what David told King Saul that made him qualified to be able to face Goliath. David persisted, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. And so Saul was like, all right, go ahead. May the Lord be with you. Do you hear the confidence in David's voice? Do you hear the confidence? First of all, he knew who his God was. He knew that his God had a covenant with his people. And that when you have a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, he's going to show up on the battle fighting your battles. He's going to show up with you, giving you strength, giving you encouragement, giving you blessing, empowering you to do what he wants you to do. He knew that because of the covenant relationship with God, let me tell you, no enemy can come against us. You may be dealing with something right now. I want to encourage you right now. The Bible says this, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every time that riles up against your judgment, you are going to condemn. Can I say that, something about that right there? A lot of times we want God to condemn them. Lord, won't you do something? He's saying, when are you going to stand up in your authority? When are you going to stand up in knowing what your rights are? And when are you going to stand up and tell that situation to go right now in the name of Jesus? Luke 10:19 says this, I have given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Why do you continue to allow a defeated devil to defeat you? The Goliaths you face in your life, you're scared and you're wanting to walk away. You're wondering if you're ever going to overcome. But God say, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. That you are a child of the Most High God. And because of what he done in your life, you can overcome any attack the enemy throws at your way. You got to understand who you are in Jesus Christ. You want to do what God's called you to do? It comes out of a firm foundation of what, knowing who you are in Jesus. Of knowing what he says about you. Not what the world says about you. Not what you said about you. Not what religion said about you. But who God says about you. He had the confidence to face Goliath because he saw God faithful on a shepherd's field somewhere. And because he was on a shepherd's field somewhere, and he faced the lion, and he faced the bear, he knew he had what it takes to face the Goliath that was attacking the children of Israel. So what does this mean for us? This means that if we want to go to the next season that God has for us, we got to get connected in the current season that God has for us. We got to understand, what season are you in right now? You see, a lot of us, we are so concentrated on the big picture. And it's easy to do this, especially, you know, with me, it was easy to do in high school. Trying to think of where you're going to go, what you're going to do. And you're trying to imagine how this is all going to look out. And we're so concentrated on the big picture that at times we can neglect the little steps, the little things that God has us up right now to take us to where he wants us to go. See, God has you here for a purpose. He has you here for a reason. He wants you to get plugged in and trained up to do what he wants you to do. But it's how you're going to respond to God's calling in the season that you're at right now. You know, some people want an international ministry, but they're not willing to serve in the local church. Can I say that again? You want an international ministry, but you're not willing to get planted in the house of the Lord. You're not willing to get plugged in and grow and learn and be all that God's called you to be. Because if God was to give you that international ministry at the current state you're at, you probably couldn't handle it. You probably couldn't handle it. And that's not a negative thing. That's not a condemning word. That's the love of God that's reached out to you to let you know, I have a great calling for your life, and I want you to walk it out. But you got to stay faithful in the current season that you're in right now. If you're going to be like David and do a job that seems menial, seems little, seems nobody in the eyes of the world, and you're faithful, I'm getting there. That's in my notes. I'm in there. Don't preach ahead of me, Eric. I will. Trust me. It's there. I'm working my way. I'm building up. I appreciate it. He knows where I'm going. Hallelujah. But if you're not willing to stay in the little season where you're at right now and stay faithful in that, let me tell you something. You will not be able to walk in the calling that God has on your life. You know, I have an interesting perspective from any of the pastoral staff in this place. You know, we're here at Destiny Church in the Town and Country Shopping Center. And it's a wonderful blessing. It's a wonderful building that we're in. So blessed that we have this place. But somewhere behind me, a few doors, is a place, wonderful little world where kids can be kids, where people can laugh and play and have fun, and they encounter a nice mouse, not a rat. I will get to you on that. A mouse called Chuck E. Cheese. And whether you realize it or not, I used to work for 6 years somewhere behind this walls in this building at a place called Chuck E. Cheese. In fact, I think God has a sense of humor. I think it's ironic. We're going to occupy the Town and Country Shopping Center. So I'm like, that's kind of ironic that I worked for six years at Chuck E. Cheese, and now I'm back in my old neighborhood. That's the way I play it. I'm back in my old neighborhood. There's a reason why God wanted me here. But let me tell you something. I worked for 6 years at Chuck E. Cheese, and when you work at Chuck E. Cheese and we're working in a place like that, you can see the people that don't want to be there. And I'm not talking about the guests that just putting through a birthday party for 2 hours. I'm talking about, we call them cast members, but the employees. The people that, it's just a little job. I don't even want to be here. I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even want to work. It's amazing the people that no called and no showed while you weren't there. And then I'm thinking, okay, that's going to affect you in the future. So that's a nice way of doing it. But anyway, so it's interesting to see the reaction of those people. And then the reaction of people that, yeah, they're not there for the rest of their lives. But they took advantage of the moment. They were a blessing to kids. They had fun. They created memories. They would be able to be a delight to kids' faces. Put a smile on their face. Let them have a magical time. Why is that? It's because they were able to take advantage of what's there and be a blessing to someone else. See, God has you in this season for a reason, not just for yourself, but so you can be a blessing to someone else. You have no idea. You may be at a job that nobody wants, and you're wondering why God pushed you there, but maybe there's a coworker that you'll affect with the gospel, with the love of Jesus, with a positive attitude. Do you realize your light shines through your actions? Do you realize that? when I worked at Chuck E. Cheese, I actually encountered, I had a prophetic word. Someone prophesied over me that my life was going to shine. And then there was someone that worked in the kitchen. And basically, one time I was going through the kitchen, he straight up asked me if I was a Christian. Straight up asked me. And I told him I was. And he said, I thought so. Because he could tell how I dealt with people, how I handled situations, how I reacted to situations. And it turned out he was a believer himself. He was letting me know my light was shining there. You may be at a place that you're like, this isn't the ultimate destiny God has for me, but you're affecting people in the place that you're at right now that can ultimately affect people in the future and make a difference in the kingdom of God. There are things that there's people you can affect, but there's things you can learn in those jobs and those seasons. There's things that you could pick up. When I was at Chuck E. Cheese, I learned hospitality. When you came in, you were not a customer. That was a dreaded C word. That was like a cuss word coming out of my mouth. Customer. You were a guest. We treated you with awesomeness. We treated you with love. We wanted you to have a good time. You come in, we said, have a magical day. And then we served and did things for you. And if you were nice enough to say thank you, we responded with, it's my pleasure. Who thought I came up with that word? I want to see a raise. I want to see a poll. Who thought I came up with that phrase? I did not. It was drilled into me at Chuck E. Cheese. That was our appropriate response. Not no problem. Not even you're welcome. No, you're supposed to say it's my pleasure. And to be honest, that was all about hospitality, making sure that people have a good time in the situation that they're in. So you got to come to this understanding. Yes, it may not be the most pleasant experience. Yes, being a greeter may not be your ultimate calling, or being an usher may not be your ultimate calling. But when you're serving God right where you're at right now, he's preparing you and you're learning things and growing in areas that ultimately he'll open up the door for bigger and better things for you. I believe Jesus said it like this, if you're faithful with the small, he'll make you ruler over much. See, we want to claim that verse. We want to claim that scripture. I'm going to be ruler over much. I prophesied over my life. But you're not willing to be faithful in where you're at right now. If you're faithful where you're at right now, God will one day make you ruler over much. Rob Parsley said it like this. The will of God is not something that you find. It's something that you live. Think about that. That kind of goes against our American Christianity, doesn't it? I want to find the will of God. I want to go try to find the will of God. Yet we're singing Kumbaya, trying to find the will of God all day while there's people that need to be touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's people that need to be prayed for and get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit. There's lives that need to be changed. There's support that need to be helped. There's people in our community that we need that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet we're sitting and we want our big break. God's not going to give you your big break until you're faithful in the season he has you in right now. The will of God is not something you go out and find. It's something that you live. And you, when you're faithful in that, you don't have to go find the will of God. He brings it right in your lap. The will of God will find you. You don't have to go out and find it. It will find you. So when David accepted this challenge, Saul, being a gracious king, offered a little help for David. Here's my armor. Once you try on my armor, since you're going to be in battle, once you wear my armor. And David tried it out. Never wore armor before, went ahead and tried it out, and he moved around in it, and he realized, this ain't going to work for me. This is not going to work for me. Thank you, King Saul, but I'm going to do my thing right now. And so that's when he left, and he got the 5 smooth stones, and he had a shepherd's staff, he had a sling, and he faced Goliath and won the victory. He won the victory because he knew who he was, and he was confident who God made him to be. He had an encounter with the Most High God, an experience with God that changed his life forever, and he knew who he was. He didn't have to change himself for validation from others. He could have been like others, saying, well, I'm going to go ahead and wear this armor because, it's warfare. It's what you should do. This is what I should do. Or maybe to be liked by Saul or liked by others to look good. But if he would have done that, he wouldn't have won the victory over Goliath. He won the victory because he was confident in who God made him to be. See, let me tell you something. When you are confident in who God has called you and destined you to be, you can fulfill what God has called you to do. Because I know when I mention prepare for your calling, you want the practical things to check off the list. What school to go to? How much finances to have? The right connections? The right lingo? The right dress? on and on and on and on. We ourselves try to make the will of God to come to pass. But when we accept ourselves the way God sees us and accept the gifts that he's given us and being faithful in that season he has for us, that's when he'll open up the door. That's when he'll open up the door. See, the thing is how do you see yourself? Going back to perspective, how do you see the gifts God's deposited on the inside of you? Do you compare yourself with someone else? You know, it's easy to do, especially in the preaching world. It's easy to do. I can turn on Christian television, find preachers that preach better than me. They sound more intelligent than me. They sound all that stuff more than me. But the thing is, that's who God's called them to be, and I'm who God's called me to be. In fact, I had a conversation with Pastor Eric about this many years ago when I got credentialed through Fivefold. I sat in his office, and some of you that are credentialed through Fivefold, you've been in that interview process, and you're waiting for the thumbs up, does he live, and thumbs down, does he die? And if you ever go for your credentials through Fivefold, it's not that bad. We joke about it, but you really feel that way. You think, am I going to get through this thing? And then so Eric happened to be the one that interviewed me. So I'm sitting across from his desk, and he's going through my application. Okay, everything's looking good. And then we ended up talking, and he knew I liked Rod Parsley. And I devoured his stuff when I was in high school. I used to rush home from school and turn on his broadcast on TBN to watch Breakthrough. And I used to record it. I used to wait for John Hagee to get over. Go ahead, get over with John Hagee. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to watch Rod Parsley. I can't wait. I'm ready. In fact, I went to his church a couple of times. And then, you know, got a tremendous blessing and stuff like that. And, you know, if you ever seen Rod Parsley, he's one of those wild. I mean, you're not going to get bored in one of his services. He'll have a hanky, he'll wipe his face, he'll go ahead and run the aisles, jump the pews. I mean, they're about ready to have church in that place. It's not a funeral home. They're about ready to have church. And so I love that. But sitting across the table from Eric, he gave me one of the most powerful, one of the most beneficial advice anyone in ministry ever gave me. And it's this: don't be Rod Parsley. And don't be me. Be you. Be the best you that you can be. If you're going to fulfill what God's called you to do, quit trying to be envious of someone else's gifts. There's a reason God gave them those gifts, but that doesn't diminish the value of your gifts. There's a reason God gave you the gifts he's given you. It's so that you can be used mightily to touch people. You value to the body of Christ. You matter to the body of Christ. And there's a reason God gave you those gifts. Ephesians 2:10 says this: for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Every ounce of ministry should come from how I see myself in Jesus Christ. Because when I get this revelation, now I'm not trying to earn the promises. Now, I'm not trying to earn the favor of God or earn the blessing of the Lord, but Daddy's already pleased with me. That changes your ministry. In fact, when I first got really connected with Eric Sherrill's ministry, I encountered a person that changed my life forever. Eric opened up the altars one time in service, and I came up for prayer, and there was this guy that came up to me and said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And he prayed one of the most radical prayers anyone ever prayed over my life. And his name was Dennis Nichols. Now, if you know Dennis, you know how radical and on fire that he could be. I mean, just put up with nothing. One of the things that he said over me is this: quit trying to please Daddy. And I thought he was talking about my earthly father. I later on learned down the line he was talking about my heavenly father. That I don't have to do a bunch of do's and don'ts or jump through hoops and ladders or be afraid if God loves me or is pleased with me if I mess up that he doesn't love me. No, he loves me already. It's what I do with that love that matters. It's what I do with that forgiveness that matters. See, he paid the price 2,000 years ago on the cross for you to be saved and delivered and set on fire for him. It's what you do with the cross that matters. See, God wants to bless you. He wants to move in your life. His grace is there. His grace is sufficient. But it's what we receive by faith that matters. When you receive what he did for you, not work for it, but simply say, you want to give it to me? I'll go ahead and take it like a present from heaven. Let me tell you something. That will radically change your life. Every ounce of ministry, if you're going to fulfill what God's called you to do, the best preparation you can get is don't serve God to try to win his approval. You already got his approval. Serve him because you love him. Serve him because you love him. That's the grace of God, my friend. His unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. God empowering you, God changing you, and turning you into a new creation so you can live the kind of life he wants you to live. But how do you see yourself? What perspective do you see yourself? And when you have a relationship with God and you get in his word, and you get in his presence, and you get around others that will tell you who God sees you as, that's what's going to change your focus, and that's what's going to change your heart. When you have encounters with people like Dennis Nichols, the Dennis Nichols of your life, that will let you know, quit trying to please Daddy. Daddy already loves you and pleased by you. Serve him because you love him. Serve him because you love him. He made you to be you. And so go after the call that he has for your life. I'm going to go ahead, Stetson, come on up. And the last thing I want to let you know is this. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. God has a destiny for your life, and he wants to prepare you for that destiny. But here's the $14 million question. How do I fulfill it? Because the Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. How do I endure to the end? How do I make it to the other side? You know, we just had Billy Graham just pass away February 21st of this year, and he won millions of people to Jesus. He won millions of people to the Lord, come from humble beginnings, but yet said yes to the call of God on his life. And people are impacted today. There were preachers that were won to Jesus and now preaching the gospel, and the impact keeps on going. What he did was simply answer the call and ran after what God has for us. Imagine the call of God and the opportunity like a baton. Like we run a race. And God is saying, listen, you have a call. You recognize the call. You've been faithful. You've been preparing. Now's the time. Run the race that I have for you. And will you be like Billy Graham heard, where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy I have for you. But how can I do that? How can I do that? How can I endure to the end? How can I make it to the other side? How can I finish the race strong? Here's how you finish the race strong. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You know what that word faith means in the Hebrew? It means faithfulness. The just shall live by faithfulness. God doesn't care about your education. God doesn't care if you have enough money. God doesn't care if you have the most talent, everyone says. He is calling the faithful. He is calling people that will say yes to him and will keep on at it no matter what. He's handed the baton to people say, I will run the race and make it to the finish line. To be faithful is two things in my mind. You don't give up. You don't give in. It doesn't matter how hard. It doesn't matter what you go through. You don't give up and you don't give in on the promise. The Bible says this, you don't give up on the promise. The Bible says this in Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. It doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't matter how many years it seems like you get your break. It doesn't matter. I will not give up. I will keep going after God no matter the cost, no matter what. I will keep on going after the call and the destiny that God has on my life. Will you be that one that says, I will grab the baton and run the race of victory. I will run after everything God has for me. I will run and not get weary. I will run after everything that God has in store for me. Will you answer the call? Will you answer the call? Also, be faithful to serve where you're at right now until God shows you the next step. That means I'm going to keep running this race until God shows me the next step. And we have our beginnings. I started in my church that I used to attend just working PowerPoint and did that for 4 years until God started to lay upon my heart to lay that down. When I laid that down, eventually I got connected to this ministry. Eventually I began to get trained. I began to go on encounter. I began to grow, and opportunity after opportunity after opportunity came because I was faithful to where he had me at. But I had to lay something down in order to pick up what he had for me. What are you needing to lay down? You go ahead and stand up on your feet. This is the word of the Lord in Hebrews 12:1. Since we are so surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that's marked out for us. What do you need to lay aside? You need to lay aside your fear. You need to lay aside your fear that you won't make it. Fear God won't provide and show up. Do you need to lay aside your doubt? Do you need to lay aside your worry? Do you need to lay aside any sin that's binding you? What's going on today? God wants to show up and give you the strength that you need to be all that you're called and destined to be. He has the baton out here, but he's saying, I want you to grab a hold of it. But we need to lay down what's holding us back and reach out to what he has in store for us. I want the Connect group leaders to come over to the side right over here. And as we were preaching, I hope that you were encouraged. I hope that you were blessed. I hope that was something that prophetically spoke to you. Because when I asked God for what to preach, I told him, don't give me a message, give me a word. Don't give me just an average message, give me a word. And I believe this is a word that God's prophetically speaking to someone right now. If during this message, God's been tugging at your heart, and you're wanting to answer the call, maybe you never gave your life to Jesus Christ. That's a great start in the journey. It's to give your life to Jesus Christ. Say, I'm going to go after him no matter the cost. He paid the price for you. He loved you so much that he gave his life so that you could be free. Maybe that's the call you need to answer today. Maybe you just want clarity on what God has called you to do. Just strength to prepare for what God's called you to do. Or the strength to endure the end. Whatever you need, God has that for you. On the count of three, if that has been a blessing to you, if you're being tongue say, I want to take that next step, my walk with the Lord, I want you to raise your hands on the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hands all over this place. God bless you. That's awesome. That's great. Now, here's what I want you to do. Some people that you have your hands raised, please go to the Connect group leaders right now and go over there and get some prayer, because God wants to do something awesome. Take that next step in your walk with the Lord. Take that next step in that journey with the Lord. So if you feel that tug, come over there to the Connect group leaders right now in Jesus' name. And I want to go ahead and lift up your hands. And let's go ahead and just pray that God's definitely going to do work. Lord, you spoke to our hearts today. God, we just thank you, God, for the call that you reached out to us in this journey of life. May we answer the call. May we be faithful to go after everything that you have called us and destined us to do. God, I pray, God, just for just a fresh favor upon everyone in this place, that they will run after the race. They'll run after what you've called them to do. They will run after what you destined them to do. God, continue to bless our lives. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to encourage us. And God, I pray, God, that lives will be changed because of you. And we give you the praise for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Put your hands together for Joey this morning. I think that's just a powerful word. And I think one of the most powerful things about the morning is that Joey has lived his sermon. And as an example, he texted me yesterday. He goes, is there anything I need to do special tomorrow? Which shows his teachable spirit, shows that he wants to be honorable to the house. And my advice to you was,
be yourself.
Be yourself. And that's what we like to say around here. God has made each and every one of you very, very special. And you don't have to be like Joey, and you don't have to be like me. And I'm not going to stand up here and re-preach your whole sermon, because that was pretty powerful. Can you put your hands together one more time? Show your love for Joey. Good job, buddy.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.